Look, the world is always giving us feedback, and we can always recalibrate if we choose to listen and pay attention. So obviously learning, listening to podcasts like this are wonderful inputs, but the growth comes from the reflection and saying, how do I do better next time?
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design. Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamner, your host. On today's episode, I'm really excited about this because this person's book absolutely had a huge impact on me. When we think about having a blueprint for your business, I think that there are three specific components that go into having a blueprint. Number one, how you lead yourself first. Number two, do you have a roadmap to grow your company? And number three, do you have a business operating system? But in the first part, when you lead yourself first, you're effectively trying to put your oxygen mask on. Well, the first place I heard that term, put your oxygen mask on first, is from Kevin Lawrence, who we have on the podcast today. I read that book, and I have to tell you, that title was so good. And respectfully to him, don't remember some of the very specifics into that book when I read it, but I remember the impact that it had on me, and that's a kudos to him. He also has now written a second book, The Four Forces of Growth, Defy the Odds and Keep Your Company Scaling. I actually love the idea of defying the odds too. I talk about this in the episode that we talk about beating the odds. That's why our business retreats with business owners is actually called Beat the Odds. 91% of businesses never cross a million. 96% don't see their 10th birthday. We want to help you to beat those odds. I think you're going to get a ton out of this conversation with Kevin Lawrence.
Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they are taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at CoachPConsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Kevin Lawrence, welcome to the Above the Business podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me, Bradley.
Excited about this conversation. I came across your book a number of years ago, your first book, Your Oxygen Mask First, and we'll get into that. And then obviously your latest book, The Four Forces of Growth. But before we get into those things, take us, our listeners, back. We'd love to kind of know people's origin story and background story about how kind of how they got to where they are. What's your story?
Yeah, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Like when I was young, I was the kid that knew the ditches that had tadpoles in them and would catch them and sell them to my friends and painted rocks. And at that point, they had like throwing stars imported from Asia. So I was always an entrepreneur, hustling, selling. And I put myself through college with my own landscaping and yard cleanup business. And then when I got, you know, finished college and started working, I worked in media, worked in advertising business, which was really fun for a while. But then I just felt there was something else. And at a very young age, at the age of 24, I just started doing what I'm doing now, which was, you know, I started marketing consulting. But then I found for the businesses I worked with, the marketing ideas weren't the problem. It was this thing called execution and follow through. And I heard of this thing called coaching. And this is back in the 90s. I'm really dating myself here, but back in the 90s. And I heard coaching, you partner with people to help them follow through and get the results. And I'm like, huh. That sounds like what my clients need. So I started studying it back then. And one thing grew to the next. And next thing you know, I find myself in different countries and boardrooms around the world and consistently working with larger and larger businesses as the businesses grow. And then, you know, helping the CEO and executives to grow with the growth of the business. So just not the official background that people normally have in the work I'm doing. That's for sure.
I think if I ask the question that says, what has changed since you first started doing coaching and consulting, the easy answer in the layup would be certainly what AI has done over the last 3 to 4 years. I'm actually going to ask it a different way. What has not changed?
All the core principles of business. Finding a customer and solving a problem, like creating value for them. The right people in the right jobs make all the difference in the world. Healthy gross margin leads to profitability. Having your customers thrilled and referring you is the best way to build a business. All the principles of the technology, like AI, is an enabler. It's an accelerator. It can be wonderful, but it doesn't change the principles of the game, which is solving a problem for a customer.
Yeah, totally agree. I've seen AI as it's something that can create leverage for you when done right. But it's unbelievable, and I don't want to go down too much of this rabbit hole around AI by no means, but I have got caught up in the whirlwind of creating something or a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Exactly. It's called entertainment.
It's become entertainment, right? Which is like, what has OpenClaw done for somebody, right? I've yet to see somebody of like, well, what is it actually doing? And I think people are creating cool things. Now, granted, there are some AI tools that have been incredibly helpful, by the way. Whisperflow is one of my favorites. That is an incredible AI tool. So I do totally agree with you with leverage. And I love the word, it's an enabler, but the core principles of business have not fundamentally changed. I love that.
Yeah. One thing I'll comment on the AI, we have a number of clients doing great work and it is making a notable difference on quality of data getting fully processed without humans having to touch it. Like we've got a bunch of people that are making some, even recruiters, where they're doing outbound calls with voice AI, like that is working very well. So we have a whole bunch of really, really effective things. The challenge is, the best example on that is, I've been in a meeting where someone's like, yeah, hey, we can do AI automated meeting notes. I'm like, great, but we didn't want meeting notes before. So we don't need meeting notes, but it's really cool that we can do them, but it's actually not solving a problem. So internally in our firm, we call it party tricks versus adding real value. Party tricks being, it's really cool you can do stuff, but it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't actually create any real value. Sometimes it creates more, but there are things that do. And the key is to find it and not have meeting notes for meetings that don't need them.
Yeah, I totally agree. So in our framework of helping people get above the business, think like an architect and design the blueprint. In a business blueprint, there's three things. And one of them is a personal leadership track. And you didn't know this until right now.
No.
Your book, Your Oxygen Mask First, was a big part of helping shape my thought process around this. There was around that period of time that your book came out that I came across it and really helped me in a tough time that I was a little overwhelmed. And I was pouring so much out to everyone else that I did not think about putting my oxygen mask on first. For people that have not, you know, read the book, first of all, you have a great title, right? But for a business owner and entrepreneur, what is the high level idea? And then we can get into some tactical ground level things that people can do today.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, the ground level idea is based on my own experience of burning myself out seriously 7 times as I built my company. And the idea of the book is when you're young and getting going and getting started, generally we use this thing called self-sacrifice to get results and get ahead. And it works really, really well until it doesn't one day when you push it too far and the system starts to melt down. And when the system starts to melt down, it happens slowly, 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 and then very quickly. And essentially your brain starts to deteriorate and your sleep gets messed up. Basically, mental health kicks in and your brain starts to get seriously injured. And the idea is, one, how do you prevent that? But two, when it does, because it happens to every successful person that pushes themselves, how do you deal with it properly? How do you get the help so that you don't end up in a very, very precarious position? And the truth is, a lot of very successful people end up in so pushing themselves so hard, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And next thing you know, they're in like a red zone of mental health where their life is on the line. They could have suicidal thoughts and have thoughts of hurting themselves. And it's pretty serious. And even if that's the extreme, but if you don't get there, it's just knowing how do you consistently charge your own batteries and be charged up and strong and resilient so you have lots to give at work and lots to give to your family and your friends. And The problem is, if we were an electric car, we would know to plug our car in every night. But we don't realize our own battery sometimes, and we deplete ourselves so much that we don't have anything left to give, and then we start pulling on our own reserves and depleting ourselves. So the book is, how do you manage that? And it's all the different tools and skills you need to thrive as your company grows as a person. It's all about scaling yourself.
So what did you learn in your own journey, and what have you seen with other entrepreneurs and business owners that you've worked with around the idea that we do it to ourselves consistently? So this is important. There's been some people that for sure have burned out, retooled, and then have never gone back. What I've actually seen is more so because I've done it myself. You said you did it 7 times. What are the things that actually work so that, and I know this is a long framing, but this is important because okay. This is a real
this
thing.
This is key. This is important. This is life and death stuff right here.
So, okay, I get myself in a really tough state. I get a little overwhelmed. Okay, I start pulling the ripcord, as I sometimes call it. All right, hey, delete my meetings. I got to retool. So I get a little bit of space. I get to be a little okay. Maybe I go on a vacation, all these kind of things. And I start to feel better. And that happens for a few months, Kevin. And then I do it to myself again. And now the cycle continues. How do I break the cycle so this doesn't keep happening?
Well, that depends on how thick-headed you are, right? Sometimes we learn, and sometimes we got to keep hitting the wall. I have burnt myself out seriously, and first time I did it, took like 18 months to get back. Now I had one, I could probably say I've done it 8 times, because I think I had one earlier this year. I had the first 14 weeks of this year, I was in a different city somewhere in the world each week, and that was a lot. The thing that I've learned, and I see through that, you learn the early warning signals. So I know if I start to get sick, that's I've pushed it too far. Because I don't sense it naturally if I push myself so hard. Some people have a real high self-preservation. I have a high must-achieve. So I just push through stuff naturally. I don't sense it when I'm starting to deplete myself. So what I've seen is there's a lot of people who chronically burn themselves out because they just push too hard. And they don't even realize it, which I am one of those people. So 2 things is the early warning signs. What do you watch out for? And then 2 is what I call in the book, resilience rituals. What are the habits that you use to stay charged up? And we look at like body, mind, and spirit. For body, everyone knows about exercise, and most people have some goal about activity. Almost every CEO and executive I work with, 98% of them. And then something around, you know, eating healthy or not drinking too much or whatever that happens to be. For the mind, there's some mental practice that people do that want to stay in a high-performing mode for a long time. Because in high performance, there's high stress. So, mental practice. So that could be like meditation or writing or some mental practice. And then spirit is what sparks you, what lights you up, what brings joy into you and almost fills up your joy cup so that you got lots of good stuff inside you. And so those resilience rituals are like, they're the key to staying on it consistently. But then people like me sometimes will still blow it up. And that's where you got to understand what to do when your brain goes too far. You got to have a counselor to talk to when your brain starts to melt down, or some support. So again, you don't end up fully in the mental ditch, or when you do, that you bounce back.
Yeah. I think every time that I've had, maybe not necessarily burnout, but I've definitely hit a wall around some things a couple of years ago, honestly, about this period of time, 2 years ago, my mom was going through some really tough health concerns, and unfortunately, she ended up passing away in June of 2020 from cancer. But I say that not for empathy. I say that from the perspective of like, that was a very understandable period of time that was incredibly difficult, right? I mean,
sure,
hospice care, and financially, that was difficult to have around-the-clock care. And so I'm using that because, sure, everything about my routine slipped. Okay, everything about it. I wasn't doing anything right during that period of time that I needed to do. But oftentimes when I look back on the periods that are almost self-inflicted, as you called them, and I agree, it is a slip. It's like gradually I don't work out. I don't eat great one day. And then it happens. And then all of a sudden you said it. I thought, great. It happens slowly. Then it happens really quickly. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, what I've gotten completely away from my structure and process and routines and all those kind of things that give me life. And I got to go back to all of those things. And I think that that's so common with entrepreneurs.
It is, because you're so focused on pushing through and you don't notice the pain and being a little bit tired or stressed is normal for you. And then it shocks you. The key is, as you described it very nicely, but sometimes that's not what happens. You wake up in the moment, like you get an awakening of in the middle of a rage. Or saying something or being rude or disrespectful or some sort of outburst. Like at one point during COVID, when I realized I teach this stuff. I know this stuff. I've been through it. And in the middle of what I noticed is one of my passions in the past has been racing cars. So that's been an outlet for me. And so I'm in a sports car that I had at the time and I'm driving towards this resort spa to go for a massage, like to go relax. And the person in front of me is driving very slow. And I'm like, this is a beautiful windy road. I want to drive this thing. And I'm very comfortable at speed, very close to other cars, which most humans aren't because of racing. So I go and I am charging this car like a bull. I'm charging it and then backing off and, you know, charging it and getting like a foot away from their bumper because I want them to get out of my way because I want to drive the way I want to drive on this road. Now, that is completely insane. But it wasn't until I was lying on the massage table for my treatment that I went, wait a second. And I caught myself, like, because in the moment, it was just a reaction because I was exhausted and I was in the mental health continuum, McCall in the red zone, and acting like a complete idiot, totally wrong. But it was basically my version of road rage. But I didn't even realize I was totally fried until I actually did something totally stupid.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you struggling to turn clicks into clients and grow your business with confidence? Well, DirectClicks has helped over 1,000 businesses increase their lead volume by an average of 300%. Built by business owners, for business owners, DirectClicks specializes in custom marketing solutions that deliver real results. From paid search campaigns and performance max to SEO and social media management, they provide the comprehensive digital marketing your business needs to grow. Here's an exclusive offer for our listeners to the Above the Business podcast. If you visit directclicksinc.com/above the business, you'll get a free marketing campaign audit. They'll assess your website, social media, SEO, content, and paid advertising. Then they'll provide actionable recommendations. Plus, when you choose to partner with them, they'll waive all your setup fees. Don't miss this opportunity to grow your business with proven marketing strategies with DirectClicks. DirectClicksinc.com/above the business.
You know, that does bring me back. I can only think back a couple of times where this happened, but I was in a team meeting recently and I walked into the team meeting in a heightened state. And then I just snapped. I got so frustrated that I actually I got off the call. And I don't know if I've ever done that. And in your point,
smart
point,
good move.
Yes. And then I was a little embarrassed of like, man, what was in me that what was going on inside of me that made me kind of go that? And that's the part where I had to kind of reflect and be like, oh boy, you know what? I think I might need to go back and do a little bit of work because my central nervous system was incredibly activated in that moment going into that meeting.
That's why it's so important to constantly have a reflection process. Sometimes we're so hard charging and we do get stuff done. The biggest part of growth as a leader in a business and an owner of a business is reflecting on yourself and looking at what can I do to do better? What can I do to be a better version of my person or handle that situation better? So all those things happen. I think they're fine. And if we reflect, we grow from those things. And that is the key attribute of people who continue to scale their businesses. They take when they do good or bad things, particularly less than ideal things, reflect, make a better choice, and they continue like upgrade their operating system 0.5% or 1% at a time from all of those situations. That's what's different about the people who get to 10x wherever you're at today. They do a lot of that.
How often do you recommend doing it?
I reflect. Look, one of my resilience rituals is writing. So when I write or journal, that is one of my best points of reflection. And I try to do it a few times a week at least. I wish I could do it every day. It just doesn't happen. but a few times a week and just reflecting. Because look, at the world is always giving us feedback and we can always recalibrate if we choose to listen and pay attention. So obviously learning, listening to podcasts like this are wonderful inputs, but the growth comes from the reflection and saying, how do I do better next time?
That's good. Your newest book, which came out tail end of 2025, The Four Forces of Growth. I love the idea of defying the odds. I oftentimes have done some research just on small businesses about, you know, there's some statistics that, you know, 90, 96% of businesses don't see their 10th birthday. 91% don't cross a million. So I really love that idea of defying the odds or beating the odds. Where did the idea of the four forces of growth, what were you seeing with your clients that came out of you?
Wonderful question. Again, I've been doing this for 30 years. Like, I've seen it all. And what I would find is when we started 20 years ago getting deep into strategic planning and working with CEOs and their teams to get aligned around scaling the orgs. And there's another book that I was a key contributor to called Scaling Up. We would implement that operating system in all kinds of companies, you know, in the, you know, small market to mid-market. But what I find again and again, if we let them just follow their instincts, people would make choices to optimize the business and not grow it. And super smart CEOs and their teams would experience periods of growth for like 5 or 10 years. And then the businesses would bonk and they would almost flatline or they would slow down. And they were like, oh, you know, there's not enough new. They make excuses about there's not enough market, or people like to use the word TAM, total addressable market. Like, look at, you don't run out of TAM for most businesses until you hit like a billion or a few billion dollars. And there's always more. So I started seeing really smart, successful people lose their growth trajectory when it was still available, but they lost it. And I started looking for, okay, wait a second. They set these beautiful strategic plans and they have an aspiration to grow, but it doesn't work. And I started to see, and I had this amazing client, BP, his name's Brent Parent out in Ohio. And he had this model he shared, or had one of his guys share, which is in the opening story of the book, about the focus on opportunities versus problems. And it got me thinking. And what I noticed is as your business grows, there's tons of problems. You get the problems multiply. And unfortunately, and if you're undisciplined or not a good enough strategic thinker, and you start thinking, if I just fix all the problems, my business will be great, you lose. Because your business will run great, but there'll be no time left to focus on opportunities for growth because the problems never go away. And you'll have your Superman cape on because you'll be like chief problem solver, like I talk about in your Oxygen Mask First. You will get all the awards for quality and all kinds of great stuff. You'll hit your profit targets for the current year. Well-run business, it'll be awesome. It'll just slow down. The growth will slow because no one's putting energy into the actual growth activities. Everything's going into improving. And these are smart executives and CEOs, and they don't even know it. They can't even see it. And so that got me thinking, I need to write a book about this. You can have a beautiful strategy, but if it doesn't have enough focus on actually driving the growth of the business, you'll end up with a beautiful Swiss watch. It just won't grow.
How do you think about helping a business with setting goals? I just finished reading a book that was interesting to me. And there's almost like, depending on what book you read around what makes the most sense. There's some books out there. I mean, there's the Grant Cardone book, 10X Rule. I'm not necessarily advocating that. But, you know, there's this like, you got to 10X this. 10X is easier than 2X as an example. And where do you land on like, oh, no, you got to have a massive, impossible goal versus, no, we're sitting here running a legitimate business doing $10 million in revenue and they want to double the company in 3 years. Okay, great. Well, then you got to grow 26% a year. But yeah, then you hear people go, no, you don't need to do that. You need to go 100 million. Like, yeah. And there's this conflicting thoughts around this.
Well, first of all, you got to be careful who you listen to, right? And then you got to filter it well. Like, we go back to the enduring research that Jim Collins did about building great companies. You know, I just actually got a copy of his new book that's coming out next month, What to Make of a Life. I appreciate him sending me a early copy. We've taken about 100 CEOs to go spend 2 days with Jim in his lab in Boulder, 20 at a time, which is a wild, wild. So I go back to what's the truth and the source code, not the hype.
That's a great comment right there. I love that.
So because there's a lot of people that think they know the business and they know the game of business. And some of them do. They all have a good intent to help, but just not everyone actually knows. A lot of people are making stuff up and don't know. And again, it can still be helpful. I just go to what is the most credible source of truth. And we've been testing Collins's principles in our clients for 20 years. So what do? We go back to, you should have a BHAG, which is a massive goal, which would be like that 10X goal that you want in 10 to 20, 30 years. It works. We use it. And so you should know what you want to be when you grow up, let's say. BHAG, 10, 20, 20 to 30 years is ideal. And you should, in our world, in the four forces of growth, I call it, you should know your three big moves to double in the next 3 to 5 years, if that's what you aspire to. So for most of the companies that we work with, they will have a BHAG, which might make them a $1 billion enterprise, but they want to double. Usually I like to focus on profit, not just the size of the business, because revenue is vanity. And that's why we get down into X's, is defining the metric of growth in a business. Your core unit or widget is really what you should pay attention to. Revenue can be deceiving. Profit can also be deceiving. But your core unit growth of your business, I think, is the best indicator of growth, because there's no inflation in that and you don't have skewed margins or other things to throw it off. But so most of our clients do want to double in 3 to 5 years, but they also have the 25-year goal where they would be 10X. So I think it's an and. It's both. But the key is, what do you want? Like, at the end of the day, there is no right and wrong. It's about what the owner wants. Some people want to keep their business small and have a lifestyle business. That's okay. Some people want to build an enterprise. Okay, great. That's a different mountain to climb. And some people want to build a portfolio of enterprises. Okay. It's all about what the person wants. But you should, in our work, and if you go back into scaling up, and actually I'd even go to Jim Collins's source code, having the BHAG, 25 years, 3 to 5, how are we going to double? What are our goals for this year that we're going to focus on? And then we run every 90 days. Better would be every month, but every 90 days just, and that's, we've got a lot of companies around the world that we run that 90-day process, and it makes a difference because you get accountability, you get learning, and then you get an opportunity to iterate and do a better sprint for the next 90. So I guess the long answer is you need both. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's great. What are your four forces of growth? Kind of give us the 30,000 foot view of those.
Yeah. It just takes the four forces of flight from what makes an airplane fly. So you've got the lift of the wings that takes the plane up, and we call that focus on opportunities. There is the thrust of the engine that takes the plane forward, and we call that courage. When you have lift and thrust, you get altitude. And for a business, when you have opportunity focus, which is new things you can do for your customers or new customers, and courage, you get growth when you combine those two. I'll spare the rest of the model. But growth only happens when you focus on doing new things for existing customers or existing things for new customers. It's all about driving your core unit or your exit. So for example, in our firm, we've got just over 100 firms that we drive and do quarterly strat planning with to help them get to their long-term goals. Well, our X in our business is number of CEOs and their teams that we meet with every quarter to help them drive their growth. It's not rocket science, right? And if I'm an accounting firm, it's the number of companies we do year ends for. And if I'm a SaaS software company, it's the number of users or maybe number of clients that use our platform. And if I'm a bed manufacturer, it's the number of beds I sell. Like, it's real simple stuff. So the idea in all of this is being focused on those growth metrics, and they only happen in that growth quadrant where most people in their goals will have all the improvement metrics. And that's improvement is the lower quadrant where you have courage, but you focus on problems. And that's called improvement. And that's important. It's really important. It just doesn't create, it enables growth. It doesn't create growth.
Let's say that the business has a company school board, and you could give your comment on this, whether or not that school board should be tracked weekly, every quarterly, so 13 weeks in a quarter, or if it should be tracked monthly. Either way, let's say a business does $5 million. They've got their company school board on there. They're tracking it weekly or monthly. Do you then put that core unit metric, like the one number that is like, this is the thing. Do you then put that at the very top? Like, how tactically do you get with a business once you've identified that, you've set their BHAG, you've set the 3 to 5 year vision, et cetera, so on and so forth? How do you actually, once you've determined that, how do you actually help them to keep score?
Yeah, that's great. People get all lost in scoreboards and dashboards, and most of them are a waste of time. And whenever someone talks about automating dashboards and things, I'm like, oh no, here we go. We're going to burn a lot of energy, come up with something that somebody invented that's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
So in ours, we try to simple it down to the basics. Like simple. So if we take a weekly meeting, right? Normally you'd have 3, 4, 5 key numbers that indicate the health of the business, right? Scoreboard, KPIs, you know, whatever you want to call them. But a handful of key numbers. Most of our energy goes into our strategic goals that we've picked, and we have 3 to 5 of them every quarter. And how are we progressing on those goals that we say are most important? Because that's how we move the business ahead. So a handful of metrics and then the goals. But we put most of the energy into the goals because the goals is strategic progress. That's where we focus a lot. But as you know, it's got to be so simple. And I know I might over-index a little bit on how scoreboards could be dangerous. I just seen so much time and energy put into them, and they complicate it. Like at the end of the day, it's like if I'm a services business, like we were talking about, it's like there's going to be the number of inquiries that came in last week.
Yeah.
The number that we made a pitch or a proposal on and what closed. And then there's going to be service breakdowns of some sort. And then there might be a measure about how many people called in sick on our team. I'm making it up. But there's a few metrics we got to pay attention to.
Yeah,
and a deeper dive on a monthly for sure. But usually in a weekly cadence, it's are we operating well? And secondly, are we making the strategic progress we need to, like pushing ahead on our objectives?
Kevin, this has been great. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and you certainly have delivered. If people want to learn more about you, the work that you guys do, your books, where would you point them to?
Yeah, you can just go to our website, Lawrence & Co., lawrenceandco.com. We have hundreds of articles, resources, case studies. We kind of share everything we can there. Lots of resources on the books. It's all there. And the books are available on Amazon or a bunch of bookstores, but Amazon's usually the easiest.
Awesome. Awesome. Kevin, what does working above the business mean to you?
It means spending time focusing on the future. It's getting away from today. So in the 4 Forces of Growth, I talk about the 2 bicycles that business owners or CEOs ride. The strategic bike, which is about the future, and then the operational bike, which is about this week or this month or this quarter. Being above the business is all about that strategic bicycle. And it's what are we doing that's going to benefit us next year and laying down the foundation for our future growth.
I love that analogy because you can't ride 2 bikes at one time. You have to intentionally get off of 1 bike to go ride the other one. That's really great. Kevin, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Kevin. That was a pleasure for me to get to interview him. Go and pick up both of his books, Your Oxygen Mask First and The 4 Forces of Growth. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to our podcast and brand sponsors, DirectClicks, CoachBeat Consulting, and Autopilot Recruiting. You want to grow in 2026, you got to invest in marketing. But if your marketing feels like a guess, or just doing a lot of random things, you can actually have a partner that can help you with that. And that's where DirectClicks comes in. Go to directclicksinc.com/above the business, book a call, and they can help you start making sense of your numbers and understanding what your cost per lead is, your customer acquisition cost, et cetera, so you can put your money where you get the best ROI. directclicksinc.com/above the business. If you're going to invest in marketing, it's kind of assumed that you're going to have a team to be able to execute on that. And look, it is critical that you get some of the best people. I've just been reminded of this over and over and over again, how important the team is that you bring on. If you want to always be recruiting and make sure that, you know, don't miss out on great people, Autopilot Recruiting can help you with that. Go to autopilotrecruiting.com, autopilotrecruiting.com. You know, David with CoachBeat Consulting has become a good friend, and he really does understand what are the specific plays that you need to have in an insurance agency that can help you scale, because he's done it, but more importantly, he's helped other people do it. Go to CoachBeatConsulting.com and let him know you heard about him on the Above the Business podcast. All right, everyone. Till next time, lead well and go be great.